could all huddle up in the middle. You kind of are. Please stand in body or in spirit. Try it. Do the altar one. Can you use that one? Got it? We begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and one another, keeping silence for reflection and self-examination of our sin. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the holy saints be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Stir up the wills of all who look to you, Lord God, and strengthen our faith in your coming, that, transformed by grace, we may walk in your way through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Good morning. Our first reading is from the book of Isaiah, the 35th chapter. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful of heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance and terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For the water shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp. The grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there. But the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. This is the word of the Lord. I invite you to read responsibly with me Psalm 146. Happy are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God.
He made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that's in them. He keeps faith forever.
Who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry, the Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord watches over the strangers. He upholds the orphan and the widow, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin.
The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord.
Our second reading is from the book of James, the 5th chapter. Be patient, therefore, beloved, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious crop from the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Beloved, do not grumble against one another, so that you may not be judged. See, the judge is standing at the doors. As an example of suffering and patience, beloved, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
When John the Baptist, the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter. When John the Baptist heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out in the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise to you, Christ.
You may be seated. Think back really far. 1 week. Yes, 1 week ago. You were here? Yeah, getting ready for catechism. That's right. You were here. Back 1 week, we have a really loud and bold proclamation by John the Baptist. And what does he say? I'll tell you here in a second. I didn't think about it till now. He basically says this. He says, one who is more powerful than I, one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. From not long ago, very early in Jesus' ministry, before Jesus' ministry even starts, he goes from one who is more powerful than I am not worthy to even carry his sandals. That's right. Those dirty things that he puts on his feet, John is not even worthy to carry those. That's what he says to, are you the one who is to come? Or are we to wait for another? It seems as if maybe John the Baptist's tune has changed. Maybe his zeal has turned a little bit cold. His certainty that Jesus is the one has somehow evaporated. Are you the one, Jesus? Or are we to wait for another? John the Baptist, this John the Baptist, whose faith was at one time almost seen as supernatural, is having a crisis of faith. You remember John, right? John, before John was even born. John was he when he was still in Elizabeth's womb. And Mary shows up, and Jesus is still in Mary's womb. What does John do? He leaps for joy, so assured is he that this is the one who is to come. So assured is he that this is the one who is to come. Before he could speak, before he could see, before he could comprehend, before he was even fully formed in his mother's womb, before Jesus was even fully formed in his mother's womb, he knew Jesus was the one. That's a pretty strong faith. A supernatural faith, I would say. From that to, are you really the one, Jesus? Or should we wait for another? Such is the life of faith, isn't it? Such is our life of faith. I wonder what has brought John to this moment. Because I think we've all been in this moment. What cracked his once unshakable faith? Failure, I think. Jesus is failing. Well, Jesus is failing to do what John expects a world-turning Messiah to do. Jesus is not doing what Jesus is supposed to do, according to John. And John is one who ought to know. He's a prophet. John went out into the wilderness and he preached a Messiah who would bring fire and judgment and upheaval. The corrupt rulers, they were supposed to be kicked right off of their thrones. But as he peers today through the bars of his prison cell, Jesus is failing because Herod still rules, and justice, it still reigns, and the righteous, they still suffer. And I might say the righteous, no, we are sinners, we still suffer. If Jesus were doing what the Messiah is supposed to do, the world would be turning upside down. John's world would be turning upside down. Herod would be in prison. John would not be in prison. But guess what? Herod's on his throne. John's in his prison. The world is not turning upside down, at least according to John. So his question as he languishes in prison, I think, is fair. Are you the one, Jesus? Because it certainly does not feel like you're holding up your end of the bargain. Jesus is failing. And when Jesus fails us, fails to do what we want him to do, when God refuses to act the way we want God to act, to answer how God should answer, to save how God should save, our faith is understandably disrupted. As our world cracks open, as it falls apart, as the pain and suffering of this world begins to crush, we understandably cry out in despair, "Are you the one, Jesus? Really?" Jesus tells John's disciples something that I think might be cold comfort to John. "Go and tell John what you see and hear. The blind receive their sight. The lame, they walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And those who are poor have the good news brought to them." Now, there's a hard cutoff there in this gospel. We don't get to hear or see John's reaction to it, but I imagine it sounded something kind of like this. "Well, that sure is nice, Jesus. Thanks. But you know what you left off that list? What about the captives? I've heard you tell people before that you are here to set the captives free. And here I sit, languishing in this prison, a captive. And I am not free. So what is it, Jesus? You're not releasing any captives today? When will I be set free? Where is my salvation, Jesus? Where is my miracle? I demand a miracle now. In my mother's womb, I believed in you. I knew then that you were the one." I guess my faith didn't get me too much, did it? A lot of good that faith did me. John's is a faith that is disrupted. And I wonder if the one who leapt for joy finds his faith disrupted. If the one who about Jesus says, "Truly I tell you, among those born of women, no one has risen greater than John the Baptist." If his faith is disrupted, then what chance do you and I have as we face into all of the faith-disrupting things of this life? Who among us hasn't felt their faith just crumble beneath the intolerable weight of pain and suffering that we know this world is capable of bringing to us? Suffering that could have just been fixed if Jesus would do what he's supposed to do. Why won't he just do it? Jesus is not the Messiah John wants or expects. John wants a Messiah who will cut down the fruitless trees and burn them with unquenchable fire. He wants Herod, who threw him in prison, cut down, thrown off of his throne burned, and Herod probably himself thrown into that fire too. But Jesus refuses to fit John's expectation. He refuses to do it John's way. And as we know, Jesus refuses to do it our way too. Jesus doesn't show up as the Savior we want. Jesus shows up as the Savior we need. Jesus does not rebuke John. He instead redirects John. Jesus doesn't explain why he's the one. He shows John. Jesus doesn't testify to acts of judgment. He points to his works of mercy. He He says, the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the lepers, they are cleansed. But this isn't just any kind of cleansing. It is liberation. It is liberation not just from disease, but it is restoration into community. The poor, they have the good news brought to them, but these aren't just any poor. Potokos in the Greek, it isn't just short on money kind of poor. The good news comes to those who are bent over in poverty, frightened, can hardly lift their heads up, poor. That's how bent over they are. That's how far this world has crippled them. Jesus brings good news to that poor. And yes, the Messiah, with him, the dead don't even stay dead. Jesus is indeed turning the world upside down, but he doesn't do it by inflicting pain or punishment, though it might seem that way when we don't get the answer that we think we need or deserve. His upheaval instead is healing and mercy, restoration and life. Jesus is not always the one we want, but he is always the one we need. He is the Messiah who right now, today, is renewing the world through mercy. He is the Messiah who, yes, raises the dead. Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another? Tell John, comforts Jesus. Tell John as he sits in a prison cell that he will never leave. Tell John that the good news to end all good news is that the dead don't even stay dead. That's the kind of Messiah I am. We know that this is good news. We do. We 100% know that this is good news. And yet we are still stuck, aren't we? We are caught in this liminal space, this in-between space between Christ's coming and Christ's return. This space between what has been promised and what has yet to be fulfilled. And I tell you, someday I look out there in the world and I see, just like today, wake up and, you know, our Jewish friends in Australia, they can't even gather to celebrate Hanukkah. No. They're gunned down. 12 dead, shooting in Brown. The university here in the United States. That gap between what has been promised and what has yet to come into being, it seems pretty big at times. And I know that in our own lives and what we're going through, that gap sometimes seems impossible to bridge. Waiting in a space like this, in a world like this, it is so very, very hard. And this is the test of faith. This is where, in our lives, brokenness turns into doubt. Doubt that cries out, are you the one, Jesus, really? Because I don't think so. This is where our faith becomes disturbed and disrupted. By prisons and diagnoses, by grief and injustice and illness and death, by prayers that are incorrectly answered or don't seem answered at all, and messiahs who refuse to behave the way we demand they behave. I do not think that, at least within the context of this gospel, that John somehow figures it all out. I don't think he does. as he's sitting there in that prison and his disciples bring that news back to him, I think he is understandably upset still. John's crisis of faith, I don't think, is at least in that moment resolved. And the good news for John and for us is that Jesus remains faithful despite John's doubts. A little bit differently, Jesus remains faithful despite our doubts, despite your doubts, despite my doubts. Jesus remains faithful to us. Jesus does not stop being Messiah because John questions him. Jesus does not stop being Messiah because I or you question him. Salvation, both John's and ours, does not depend on our certainty, but on Jesus' mercy. Our salvation does not depend on our certainty. Depends on Jesus' mercy. When our faith falters, and I know it will, I know there are times when you sit in that place of your faith faltering, and I understand it. Jesus shows up to you and with you in that place every single time. When our faith falters, Jesus still shows up. And when Jesus shows up, the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the poor, they receive the good news, and guess what? The dead don't even stay dead. This, my dear Christ, is most certainly the Messiah we need. Amen.
Longing for love, we wait in darkness, longing for truth, we turn to you.
ask you to join me in professing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in
God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit.
In our waiting and watching, we come to you in prayer, O God, trusting your promise to renew the church, the nations, and the whole creation.
God of power and mercy, we praise you for Jesus and his acts of healing and liberation. Lead us to proclaim the good news from generation to generation, that all may place their hope in you. God of grace,
hear our prayer. When bodies weaken and hearts grow fearful, speak your peace and healing into being. We pray, especially this day, for Jack Jr., for Evelyn, Jeff, Tony, Kyle, Marlene, Joyce, and Chloe. We lift the family and friends of Rhett, family and friends of Tom. We lift to you Jerry, Ed, Leanne, Joe, Teresa, Jim. We lift those on our long-term homebound assisting living and limited mobility prayer lists, and all who we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. In these uncertain times, in this space of what has been promised and what has yet to be fulfilled, remind us of the promise spoken to our ancestors in faith. Give us the faith that we need for the days, the weeks, the months, and the years ahead. God of grace,
when people are imprisoned or held captive, break the chains and offer release. Strengthen the work of First Lutheran Church in breaking cycles of poverty through its support of Cooperative Christian Services Egalian and Lutheran Social Services. And make us a people who welcomes and offers a place for strangers to call home. God of grace,
hear our prayer. Good and gracious God, we lift to you all who are impacted by cycles of senseless violence. We lift to you, especially this day, those who have been gunned down at Brown and those who were celebrating Hanukkah and were shot senselessly in Australia. We lift to you, yes, the victims, but we trust that you may wrap them in your loving kindness, through your grace may hold them, and we lift those who are left to grief. May they find comfort in and through you. May they be sustained in this time of grief. God of grace, draw near to us, O God, as we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, Emmanuel. And now may the peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share a sign of God's peace.
At this time, we continue with our gifts and our offerings.
Let us pray. Nourishing God, you are water in the wilderness and streams in the desert. Through this meal, satisfy our parched places that we may rejoice and be for the world signs of your kingdom come.
Amen. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who comforted your people with the promise of the Redeemer, through whom you will make all things new in the day when he comes to judge the world in righteousness. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. The night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks, and he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." United as one body of Christ, let us pray together as our Lord Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. This is the place where we come to have our sins forgiven and our faith restored. So come, everyone. You are all welcome at this table. Eat, drink, be restored. Why do you have those gloves on? This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. We'll wait for them to come up. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you.
is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you.
Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. God, our host, at this table you have fed us with joy and gladness. Send us forth, eager to share the feast. Welcome the stranger and bear good fruit in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. So, for the announcements, there's something I noticed in the Canticle of Praise today. It says, now you reign at God's right hand. So, where is God? Someone pointed up. I hear someone over here saying, everywhere, and I see some similar things back there. So, if Jesus is at God's right hand, and God is everywhere, then where is Jesus? Carl's still like up there, but I'm like everywhere. Over there, yeah. Everywhere, right? So when I preach things like Jesus shows up in the midst of all of our pain and suffering and the crap we're going through, that's real because Jesus shows up everywhere. It's built into even the canticle of praise. So the next time you sing those lines mindlessly, as I sometimes do, maybe just pick up on that and be like, Jesus is everywhere. Anyway, with that, we have some announcements very quickly. So if you are a council member, please stay. We have a matter to discuss and vote on. That's important after church. If you are on worship and music, also please stay after church. Sorry, Andrew or Ben, whoever just got mad that we have worship and music after church. We need to plan for the next at least month or so. We continue our Advent services at St. Paul in North Robinson. Our final midweek Advent service is at 7 p.m. this Wednesday, and that's our final one because the following Wednesday is what? Christmas Eve. That will be here at 7 p.m. We will start, that will be our candlelight service. I encourage you all to attend and bring a friend or three, and music for that will begin at 6:45. Are there any announcements related to the adopt a family? Are we good to go there? Okay, well, I think we're delivering when? The 19th? Okay, so if you have a gift that you still need to bring in, please make sure you bring that in. The office will be open from 9 to 1, Monday through Wednesday, and to be determined on Thursday, but we plan for it to be. So anyway, with that, any other announcements this morning? Seeing and hearing none, please stand for a blessing. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forever. Amen. Take it off. You're not doing candles with that on.
Waiting with steady hearts for the coming Lord.